For those of you that were here this morning, we had a message on intercession, and I'm not going to go over that message again. But if you weren't here to hear that sermon, I really encourage you to get it, because we take a look in that message at three different examples in Scripture, three different stories of really miracles that Jesus did. They were healings. One was actually a raising from the dead. And how that they represent intercession. What we're supposed to do is intercession, and how that we can stand in the gap for people and so on and so forth. And basically, to just kind of sum up part of the sermon, there were people dying, and someone who loved them left their side to go get into the presence of Jesus. And once they got into the presence of Jesus, they were able to receive what was necessary so that the dying received a healing, so that life was imparted to the dying. We went on to explain how that every one of us hearing this message and knowing we know somebody who is dying, not necessarily just physically, but we know people who are dying in religion, people that we've tried to minister to, no matter what we say, nothing seems to get through. They just simply do not receive from us. And we found out that what we have to do is get in the presence of Jesus. The more that we conform to His image, the more that we're going to be able to effectively minister to our loved ones, but also to others as well. And that's basically all I'm going to say about the message this morning. That was really, you know, kind of skimming across the top, but that's kind of the gist of what was there. Tonight, I'd like you to turn over to Judges chapter 7. Judges chapter 7. I was praying about all this because the Lord had given me the message, the message we heard this morning. I was praying about tonight, and He said, you know, the message was about intercession. Now they need to intercede. And I shared with you this morning how that tonight we were going to enter into some intercession. Well, in Judges chapter 7, what's happened up to this point? The angel of the Lord has appeared to Gideon and said, Gideon, you know, the Lord's going to use you to deliver the land from the enemy. And Gideon kind of argued a little bit, you know, how can I do this? Well, anyhow, the whole thing with the fleece, that's over and done with. And we pick this story up in chapter 7, verse 1. Then Jerubbaal, who is Gideon, and all the people that were with him, rose up early and pitched beside the well of Herod, so that the host of the Midianites were on the north side of them by the hill of Moreh in the valley. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hand hath saved me. Okay, now, before we go any further, what led to all these people being together was the fact that the call had gone out throughout the land. All right. Now, what the Lord told me was, learn a lesson from Gideon. That's what He told me. So I kept going back over just this chapter 7 part that we're going to finish reading here tonight. He said, learn the lesson from Gideon. And at first I really wasn't sure what he meant, but as time went on, I figured it out. The focal point is not verse 2 for tonight. Okay, the focal point is not verse 2 where the Lord says, you have too many people with you. I can't give the Midianites into your hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves and say, mine own hand hath saved me. Okay, that's not the focal point. You'll see the point He was trying to get across to me. You'll see it here in just a few minutes. So verse 3. Now therefore, go to, proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. And there returned of the people 22,000, and there remained 10,000. So he started with 32,000, and in one fell swoop, with one sermon, he lost 2/3 of his people. And the Lord said unto Gideon, verse 4, the people are yet too many. Bring them down unto the water, and I will try them for thee. And it shall be that of whom I say unto thee, this shall go with thee, the same shall go with thee, and of whomsoever I say unto thee, this shall not go with thee, the same shall not go. So he brought the people unto the water, and the Lord said unto Gideon, now we got 10,000 people going to the water, okay? Now, personally, I don't know that I'd like to be drinking from the same river as 10,000 people. All right, that's just me. But back then, you don't have a whole lot of choices. And the Lord said unto Gideon, everyone that lappeth of the water with his tongue as a dog lappeth, him shalt thou set by himself. Likewise, everyone that boweth down upon his knees to drink. And the number of them that lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, were 300 men. But all the rest of the people bowed down their knees to drink water. And the Lord said unto Gideon, by the 300 men that lapped will I save you, and deliver the Midianites into thine hand, and let all the other people go every man unto his place. So the people took victuals in their hand, and their trumpets, and he sent all the rest of Israel, every man, unto his tent, and retained those 300 men, and the host of Midian was beneath him in the valley. Now, a lot of people have speculated, okay, what's the difference between bending down and just drinking straight from the water, or, you know, cupping it with your hand and drinking it? Some people have said, well, when you take it with your hand and bring it up, you know, you're able to watch for the enemy while you're drinking, okay? Well, it's not really clear in here if that's the real reason. It might be. But here's what the Lord was showing me in this. When the call went out, 32,000 people showed up. We have an enemy. The Lord's going to rescue us. We need to build an army. 32,000. That's a lot. Not as much as what Midian had, but still a lot. 32,000 showed up. Now, every single one of them, without exception, would have looked ready. You know what I'm saying? I don't know how they did it. I don't know if, like, all these people already had their own weapons. You know, don't know for sure. They showed up to fight, did they not? I mean, they were there. The call went out, and all of those people had to leave where they were to go where Gideon was. They had to pack their bags, you know, get their bows and arrows and spears and swords and whatever else they took with them. And they showed up and said, okay, we're here. He said, the call went out. You need an army? We're here. So as Gideon is standing there and he's looking out over this, he's seeing 32,000 that have shown up, ready to fight. And then Gideon says, okay, listen, I really appreciate everybody being here. I thank you very much. However, if any of you are afraid and fearful, then you probably should leave. So, I don't know what was going through Gideon's mind. Maybe he was thinking only a few would leave. I mean, after all, they had to get up, get cleaned up, get packed up, and travel by foot or horse or whatever they did, camel. But they had to make the effort to get there. And so I'm sure he's thinking, oh, I'm not going to lose too many. He loses 2/3. He loses 22,000 people. Can you imagine him standing there watching this as 22,000 people turn and leave? And what if you're a part of the remaining 10,000? How comfortable are you going to be with this? So the Lord speaks to Gideon and he says, look, you still have too many people. Here's what I want you to do. Take them down to the river. Tell them to drink. Just say, everybody drink and see what happens. The ones that cup the water with their hand, put them on one side. The ones that bend over and drink straight from the river, you put them on another side. So he did that. And he ends up with 300 over here and and 9,700 over here. So I guess, you know, maybe in his mind he's thinking, ah, at least I have 9,700 people. And the Lord says, keep the 300. He's saying, what if you're Gideon? What are you going to think right about now? You know, Lord, you better be sure you know what you're doing. And what if you're Gideon's buddy? Are you sure you're hearing the Lord? So 9,700 people leave. He has lost. He started out with 32,000. He has now lost 31,700 soldiers. And the Lord said, now think about this. On the day that all those that Gideon stands up and he looks across this ocean of warriors, 32,000 of them, and as all those warriors are congregated together and they're looking at each other, he said they all look the same. Every single one of them. They didn't look any different from each other. Oh, you had tall ones, short ones, skinny ones, fat ones, you know, all that. But they all looked the same. Until the call went out, are you afraid? And if you are, go. And 22,000 people left. And the Lord said, until that moment, it was impossible to tell from the outside what was going on inside. Because they all looked the same. And he said, but at that precise moment, the right set of circumstances, he loses two-thirds of the people. Then we come to the next test. 9,700 people bend over and stick their face in the water and drink. 300 cup and drink. And the Lord said, when those 10,000 people walked down to the river, went to that water, he said there was no way to know what they would do until they bent down to drink. They all looked the same. No exceptions whatsoever. They all looked the same. And yet 9,700 of them had it in their heart to just completely bend over and ignore everything around them while the 300 cupped and drank. And he said, until it got to that point, there was no way to know that 31,700 people of the original group were not fit for the battle. Or, better put, what was going on inside them belied what you could see on the outside. I mean, in the most strictest terms, as far as were they ready for battle, they were ready for battle. They could have gone into battle if it hadn't been for the fear and if it hadn't been for their desire to drink water, just sticking your face right down into the water. I mean, physically, they could have gone into battle. They were able to do it, but because of what was going on inside of them, they didn't do it. Okay? And throughout all of this, the Lord is telling me, learn the lesson from Gideon. Learn the lesson from Gideon. Learn the lesson from this story. And he said, here's what I want you to know. That out of those people, the 300 were the only ones left. And he said, the battle that they entered into was not about the 300. It was not about the 31,700 who left. He said the battle was about the entire nation. The entire nation. And he said when the 300 fought the battle and won, the 300, the 31,700, and all the rest of the people shared in that victory. He said even the men who did not show up originally but could have, every single citizen of that nation benefited from that victory won by the 300. And he said, there were others that could have been there that weren't, and yet they were benefactors. The 300 fought the fight, yet the entire nation gained the victory. And he said something else. The 300 that fought, the 31,700 that left, and all of those that could have originally shown up but didn't even do that, I loved every single one of them the same. I did not love the 300 who fought more than I loved the rest of them. I loved everybody equally. There was no difference whatsoever. And again, he's saying, learn the lesson from Gideon. Learn the lesson from Gideon. Not long ago, we had a service that was totally and completely committed to praise and worship. And though I spoke to no one about this, there were many people, one of the things the Lord showed me, there were many people that refused to be a part of that service because they saw absolutely no value in the praise and worship. And if you remember, those of you who were here, at the end of that service, there was a word that came forth. And the Lord said, those of us that were here that were worshiping had engaged in battle on behalf of the ones who weren't here. Remember that? Now here's the thing. In the flesh, the 300 could have been tempted to be very upset with the 31,700. And maybe even more upset with the people that didn't even take the time to show up. They could have been very upset about that. And we don't know but what maybe they were. I don't know. The end result, though, was still victory. And the Lord said, there is a Gideon's remnant in my body that will fight. But the battle is not about those who fight. It is about my kingdom and every citizen in it. Whether they fight or not. Whether they show up for the battle or not. Whether they show up and then turn and walk out. Once it's announced the battle is going to be ensuing. He said, it's not about them. He said, the victory is not about those who fight. The victory is about my kingdom. In the flesh, there can be a temptation. Especially if you're the pastor. Those of you that are, you think you're called a pastor, you better take heed to this. There can be the temptation to be upset with the people that refuse to show up for an evening of nothing but worship because they see no value in worshiping their Savior. To them, it is a waste of time. Now, what if you were Jesus and died on the cross for them? How would you take that? I can tell you how he takes it. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, which is absolutely true. So in the flesh, as a pastor or anybody else, there can be the temptation to be upset with people who look at an evening of praise and worship as being basically a waste of time, or I have better things to do. I'm not casting stones. I'm just telling you that's how it is. But you see, those who remain and fight the fight, remember, we're joint heirs with Jesus. It's not just about those who choose to endure and fight the fight. Because not only are we fighting on behalf of ourselves, we're fighting on behalf of those who place no value on an evening of worship unto the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we're fighting the fight on behalf of those who are dying spiritually in religious doctrine and the lies, the lying doctrines of man given to them by people that don't believe they're lying. That's what this is all about. The lost who don't understand that they're lost. The ones who have strayed, and it's like they were here, but they, you know, in church, not just here, but I mean anybody. Backsliders, call them. That's the term, just backslider. That's what it's all about, see? And the whole thing of the intercession, we're going to have some a little bit later on. And I thank you for coming tonight. The intercession, it's not just for those who choose to intercede. The intercession is for the entire kingdom. The intercession is for the people that we've never met. You know, we have a wonderful couple here from Korea. Our intercession, in part, is for people in Korea. Our intercession, in part, is for people in Russia. It's for people in Mexico. It's for people down the street from this church. It's about the kingdom. This is part of what the Lord was talking about, where He said, be not weary in well-doing. Well-doing is fighting the fight of faith. And the Lord went on to say, the people that see the value in worshiping Me, and that kind of warfare, if you want to call it that, the people that see the value in interceding, I don't love them any more than I love anybody else. The ones that would turn their back and walk out, I love them the same. The ones that would choose not to be here because it's just going to be a bunch of singing, I love them the same. He said, I don't love any of them any less. And you're not highly esteemed. Those of us who do choose to be for the times of the worship and intercession and all, He doesn't love us anymore. It's just, we're the Gideon's remnant, the ones that hang in there, the ones that fight. We're the Gideon's remnant. But when it's all said and done, we're all going to be together in the same place. And the victory is all about the kingdom. I know in Scripture it talks about there are rewards that are given out and so forth. We're not talking about rewards right now. What we're talking about is God's goal, God's desires here on this earth. And quite frankly, this is where the body of Christ has missed it. Well, if it's just a bunch of singing, or all they're going to do is pray. You know, I've got other things. I can pray at home. Yeah, you can, but you don't. I can worship at home. Yeah, I know you can, but you don't. How can you say that? Because if you were praying and worshiping at home, you'd see the value of praying and worshiping with us here. You're not going to pull it over on me, man. Don't even try. And you're not going to pull it over on God. And so, you know, you've got people that they think you just leave it up to God and let Him work it all out. Do you understand that God needed a Gideon and He needed the 300? He needed the 300. And that's how that victory was won. We leave it up to God, but God needs us. He needs us to do our part through the worship. He needs us to do our part through the intercession. He needs us to do our part. Because it's about His kingdom. And listen, in the process of this kind of, again, use the term warfare, through that the worship, like what happened, and the word that came forth with that worship service that we had, and the intercession that we're going to do tonight, the intercession we've done other nights. Listen, if the result of that is a church 5 miles down the road grows to 5,000, it's not our kingdom. It's His. We're not here to build a church. We're here to build His kingdom. And if this church grows to 5,000, praise the Lord for it. Whatever. It's about His kingdom. And we have to maintain this perspective. That's why if Satan tries to come against me with feelings of frustration about what isn't, I just kind of, you know, give myself a swift kick. This ain't your kingdom, boy. It's His. And you're just one member of millions. The military understands this concept better than the body of Christ. The times that we come together, if you remember, there was a word that came forth here a while back about, you know, having times of worship and having times of intercession. And the Lord told me that it's times like this when you're going to find out what's on the inside. Because everybody that shows up looks the same on the outside. When you call for services that are nothing but worship, nothing but intercession and prayer, and that's all you're going to do, He said, you end up with a Gideon's remnant. It's not just this church. Listen, it'll be any church. And you guys know that. You've been around enough. You know. If Gideon had gotten discouraged, do you know what he would have done? Left. Gone back to the threshing floor. Said, forget this. It can't be done. 300 people against bazillions. I don't think so, God. You remember what you did, you know, long time ago where the earth opened up, swallowed all those? Just do that. Just do that. Send the fire down. Just, you know, the flood thing, all right? I know you said you'd never flood the whole earth, but how about just a partial flood? Just right where these people are. And the 300? You knew what was in them. So how do you figure what you know? We know what was in them. They stayed. When they stood and they watched as 31,700 people walked away. Went back home to their families. And the 300 stood there. They really didn't know for sure yet how that battle was going to be fought. All they knew, 300 against the sands of the sea. Gideon said that God's going to move. Those guys are going home to their families. Those guys are going home to their children. Back to their jobs. We may die. But at least we will die fighting for our kingdom. And lo and behold, they didn't die. They won the weirdest victory you've ever heard of. Trumpets? Clay jars with lanterns? Excuse me. That's no way to fight. That's God's way. Next thing you know, the enemy is dead. The enemy killed itself. This is what intercession is all about. It's what this kind of warfare is all about. Now, earlier you were all given a slip of paper. Here's what I want you to do. Those of you listening to this, you can do the same thing, only if you want, you can send your slips of paper into us, and we will intercede on your behalf. On this slip of paper, you're going to write the names of three people. Now, these are three people who either need to be born again, or are born again, but they've really got a problem in religion, if you know what I'm saying. They need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. They need their eyes open to truth, that kind of a thing. Or they need a physical healing to manifest in their body. Or they're a backslider and they need to come back to the Lord, okay? Now, if it's a person that needs salvation, put an S next to that person's name. And we'll know that they need to be born again and filled with the Holy Ghost too, okay? But if it's a person that needs salvation and a healing, you could put an S and an H. S stands for salvation. F would stand for filled with the Holy Spirit. B stands for backslider. H stands for healing. And some of these people may have more than one letter beside their name. I know that. H stands for healing. B stands for backslider. F, as in Frank, stands for filled. And S stands for salvation. Okay, now, you have those names written, and you have the letters next to the names. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to take that piece of paper and hand it to the person who's closest to you on the left. The end result is going to be that everybody has someone else's slip of paper. So go ahead and begin passing out your pieces of paper. If you're having trouble finding somebody to pass the paper off with, you know, you can find someone and that's already passed the paper off and trade with them. But the goal is to have a slip of paper that is not your own. A slip of paper that is not your own. And again, those of you listening to this by recording, if you want to write, do what I've just described, write it down and send it in to us. We will intercede. And don't worry about how long ago this was recorded, because the principle is going to hold true. And we will intercede on your behalf. Now, the piece of paper you presently have in your hand is somebody else. It's somebody else's friend. It's somebody else's family. It's somebody else's husband, child, neighbor, whatever it would be. And tonight, we're going to intercede on their behalf. And the first thing that we're going to do is go through some confessions. Confessions that we have done in the past. We're going to go through those. And then when that is over, there's going to be some music that will start playing, some background music. And then we are going to intercede on behalf of those people that are on that, whatever the name is about, whether it's healing or the whatever it is. We're going to intercede on behalf of those people. We're going to do some warfare tonight on behalf of the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. And we're going to believe that some lives are going to be changed as a result of this. And as you intercede and call their names out, the confessions that we go through, some of the things that we confess tonight will apply to the names you're holding in your and on the piece of paper. So you can think back to these confessions and just use them and kind of, you know, rephrase them if you want to, whatever. And in the process of interceding for them, remember that this is going to include worship. Worshiping and praising the Lord for whatever answer needs to manifest, manifesting. And also pray in the Spirit, because we don't always know how to pray. And you can just tell the Holy Spirit, say, Holy Spirit, you know, here's what's going on this piece of paper, and I'm going to start praying in tongues. Now, if it's your will to pray through me about these things, that's all right. But regardless, something good's going to happen, because you can't pray amiss when you're praying in tongues. And then after a period of time, I'm going to come back up, and then we'll close off the service somehow. I don't know how yet. So anyway, let me go ahead and pull the screen up here. We're not going to read the verses. Those of you listening to this, you know, we can get you a copy of these confessions. I hope by the time you hear it, we still have them in print. But we're not going to read the verses. We're just going to read the confessions that have come about from these verses. Father, it is not your will that any perish, but that everybody comes to repentance and accepts Jesus as Savior. Your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. I call Grace Christian Center and the Miami Valley in revival and filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. Father, send laborers into the harvest field of the lives of the people. People are coming in from the north, south, east, and west. They are being redeemed from the hand of the enemy and are sitting down in the kingdom of God. The lost are being saved, backsliders are being restored, and they are all filled with the Holy Spirit. The sick, afflicted, and maimed are healed and made whole. Those oppressed or possessed by demonic powers are delivered. Every week, more and more people are coming in. No matter where they are or where they live or what church they currently attend, the ones who the Father wants here are coming in, and nothing hinders them. The children of my family and this church shall not be the prey of or taken captive by the enemy or give in to any of his temptations to sin. I call them born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, and on fire for God. They are His children, and they call Him their God. Their heart is tender toward Him, and they serve, fear, and respect Him forever, and train their children to do the same. They hunger and thirst after righteousness, and the cry of their heart is, "Come with us and go deeper into God." Let us never forget that He is our Father, and we are His children. God is sending in every willing, skillful worker for every area in this ministry. The talents, abilities, ministries, and gifts contained in every person who is a part of this ministry are coming forth in excellence, being developed and used for the glory of Jesus. Jesus, I praise You that by Your stripes the people of this church were healed. You took their infirmities and bore their sicknesses. Father, You sent Your word and healed them and delivered them from all their destructions. Therefore, I call all the people of this church and all who visit healed, delivered, and totally recovered from every sickness, disease, and infirmity, no matter what the cause or the source. I say even the maimed are made whole. Sickness, disease, infirmities, and afflictions, obey the word of the Lord and leave people's bodies now, no matter what the cause or the source. Go in Jesus' name and do not return. The people of this church are praisers and they are worshipers. They praise and worship God in song, on instruments, in dance, and with uplifted hands. They are not shy, self-conscious, or hindered by pride and religious traditions. They sing in the Spirit and with the understanding. We worship the Lord as one. His glory fills this place like a cloud. The people of this church are praying people. They redeem their time and use it wisely. They spend time in fellowship with God, praying in the Spirit and with the understanding. They are edified and built up on their most holy faith. The people of this church are fasting people. They fast and tear down strongholds of the flesh. The people of this church are word people. They meditate in God's word day and night and live by every word that comes from God. They do not allow the doctrines or traditions of man to render the word of God of none effect. They do not compromise by exalting religious beliefs of their past over truth. They are sound in doctrine and prosper in all they do. I thank You, Father, for giving me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of You. The eyes of my understanding are continually enlightened, and I know the hope of Your calling, the riches of the glory of Your inheritance in me, and the exceeding greatness of Your power toward me, which You wrought in Christ when You raised Him from the dead. I am filled with the knowledge of Your will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Lord, I walk worthy of You unto all pleasing, and am fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God. I am strengthened with all Your might, according to Your glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. I worship and thank You, Father, because You have made me a partaker of the inheritance of the saints in light. You have delivered me from the power of darkness and translated me into the kingdom of Your dear Son, in whom I have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Jesus, as the Father sent You into the world, You have sent me into the world. My life is all about doing the will of the Father and to finish His work. I do Your will, Father. I work Your works, Father. I do not speak of myself, but whatever You tell me to speak, that is what I say. I cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. I bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. I think of things that are honest, just, pure, lovely, of a good report, virtuous, and worthy of praise. I do not worry about anything, but cast all my care upon you as I pray and worship you, Lord. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guards my heart and mind through Christ Jesus. I know your grace, Lord Jesus, that though you were rich, yet for my sake you became poor, that I through your poverty might be rich. God makes all grace abound toward me, and I always have all sufficiency in all things, and I abound to every good work. God supplies all my need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Father, I operate in your wisdom concerning my finances. I do not give heed to the lies of the enemy that would deceive me into buying what I shouldn't buy, improperly using credit, and not giving to my church and other ministries as I should give. I always give as the Lord desires. The enemy's weapons of poverty and financial foolishness do not succeed in my life. All my money and material things are under the Lordship of Jesus. I am the Lord's faithful steward and use all I have for the purpose of his kingdom. Exceeding abundance and multiplied thousands of dollars come into Grace Ministries every week. Grace Ministries has all the lands, buildings, furnishings, equipment, supplies, and finances necessary to fulfill the works and the will of the Father. There is no lack in this ministry. All of the people, businesses, and organizations who are to give into this ministry are doing so on a continual basis. Angels, you are dispatched to go forth and create atmospheres conducive for all of these things to happen. Father, may they be empowered from on high to accomplish these things. I am more than a conqueror through Jesus, and I reign in life by him. I say that the prince of the kingdom of the Miami Valley is defeated. I say that the principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, spirits of wickedness, seducing spirits, and devils of wrong doctrine are totally and completely defeated. They cannot hinder any of these things from happening. I call their grip over people, finances, and material things broken and loosed. Satan and his devils are all defeated, and Jesus Christ is Lord. I speak to all of you evil spirits and command you to obey the word of the Lord. I rebuke you and declare that your work in these things is over. Father, your word has gone forth, and it will not return void. It will accomplish your will and prosper as it has been sent. I have spoken according to your will and believe that those things which I have said shall come to pass. In Jesus' name, I ask that you become involved on a daily basis with your word that I have spoken, adding your anointing and power to see these things accomplished. We believe that we receive these prayers answered. May Jesus be glorified and you glorified in him as these things are accomplished and fulfilled. In Jesus' name, by faith, we call all of these things a completed work. Jesus is Lord over the Miami Valley. The Miami Valley is in revival. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Praise your name, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory and honor to you, Jesus. Glory and honor to you, Jesus. We bless your name, Lord. We honor you. We honor you, Lord. Tonight, Lord, it's victory for your kingdom. Father, we call all these prayers answered. Every one of these people, Father, that their names have been called out to you. Father, we say these are victories. Victories. Victories for the kingdom. Victories for Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Glory. Glory to you, Lord Jesus. We call it done, Father, in Jesus' name. Praise you, Jesus. The glory is yours, Jesus. The victory is yours, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to you, Jesus. Glory to you, Jesus. Oh, we praise you, Lord. We praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. About halfway through the time where we were actually praying, I literally felt something lift. I don't know who it was for, everybody that was named on these papers or what, I don't know, but I literally felt something lift. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. And right toward the end, the Lord said, you know the saying, to the victor goes the spoils? He said, tonight, those things that the devil was trying to spoil has been turned into a victory for Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, Father, it's felt good to fight. Oh, and another thing the Lord said. At one point, He had me put on my glasses and He said, look out there at all the warfare going on. And I looked out, man, you guys, you were putting some haymakers on the devil. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. So anyway, Father, thank You so much for tonight. Thank You for Your presence. It has been an honor to fight for the kingdom tonight, Father. It has been an honor. And Father, I love You so much. And I thank You, Jesus, for what You've done here tonight. I thank You, Holy Spirit, for what You've done. And Father, as we do these things in the future, I ask that You just speak to the hearts of people who could be here for the worship times, the intercession times, whatever it is that we do, to just impress upon them the importance of this kind of warfare. And Father, I lift myself to You and everybody else who's here and ask You to help us to not have the wrong attitude toward people who don't want to be here for these times. Because Father, again, it's not our kingdom. It's the kingdom of Your dear Son, Jesus Christ, the kingdom of God. So Father, tonight, we thank You again for all these prayers being answered. We call it done in the wonderful name of Jesus. And we leave rejoicing, Father. Leave rejoicing with victory, Father, in our hands. We bless You, Jesus. In Your name, Lord Jesus, amen.